So when we love God and we love others, kind of like the dominoes falling, everything else seems to fall into place. Richard Stearns, he's president of World Vision, who we partner with the Covenant Kids Congo. He calls this idea the domino theory of spiritual impact. So he said, you imagine this long line of dominoes, and when one falls, it starts a chain reaction that causes dozens to fall, and maybe hundreds fall. For instance, Jesus set up 12 disciples when he began his ministry, and he mentored them, and he empowered them with the Holy Spirit, and he sent them off then to do likewise. And now there's over 2 billion followers of Jesus in the world. So over the summer, we're looking at 7 qualities of what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus, who make followers of Jesus. And so the question for us becomes, how are you doing with that? How are you doing with following Jesus? 3 weeks ago, we learned about the first quality of discipleship, and that was living a life of worship. But that's a God-first life. And everything that we are and do, that God takes the priority, the precedence in our lives. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about living a wise life, and that is living a life of engagement in God's Word. And it's necessary for this dynamic spiritual life as a follower of Jesus to be in the Word. And so wisdom, or the wise life, is described as a life of study and a life of obedience. So last time we were here, we talked about focusing on the study, that life of study. And it is the Bible that is central to our growth and our life in Christ. So I'm inviting you to grab out a Bible. Pastor James last week reminded us how important it is to be in God's Word and to know God's Word. So there's some Pew Bibles there, and there's some other ones if you would like to dig in. 1 John chapter 2, we're going to get over there in a moment. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. And so in a moment we'll be there. If you want to look at it, it's towards the end of the Bible, and it's the letters of John. And as you get right before Revelation, Jude, you'll find those Bibles. So right towards the end, 1 John chapter 2. So today we're going to focus on the second part of this living a wise life, which is the obedient life. So I think you and I can't fool ourselves into thinking that as followers of Jesus, we don't have to pay attention to obedience. It just doesn't work that way. So why not? Why does it matter so much? Well, we go to the Bible to find out what it says about living this life of wisdom. And so it's in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. It says this: whoever claims to live in him, live in Jesus, must live as Jesus did. It's a pretty simple statement. I think it's pretty clear and straightforward. Whoever claims to live in him, in Jesus, must live as Jesus did. So discipleship is this process of obedience in every aspect of our lives over time as we become his followers all the way till the last day of our lives. And as a Jesus follower, we're born into this new life, and we become, Jesus becomes the Lord over every aspect of our lives. And that means that he is the leader of our lives. That means he's the one that matters. That's the one whose priorities should be our priorities, whose desires should be our desires, whose plans become our plans, because it's the very purpose for being a follower of Jesus. So it doesn't compute, really, if we don't know Jesus, if we don't trust him, if we haven't given our lives to him. Then we can talk about following him, but it just doesn't really work out, because we need the life of God in us in order to follow what God commands us. And that happens when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we are forgiven of our sins and set free from the power of sin and death in our lives, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, so then we can begin to see the Word of God and to live the Word of God and to obey the Word of God as God is at work within us, the Holy Spirit. So as followers, making followers of Jesus, we're growing into these disciples when our priorities become Jesus' priorities and our desires line up with his desires. And this is evident when we start living a life of obeying Jesus' commands. So are you with me so far? Does that make sense? How you doing as a follower of Jesus? You know, we asked that question. It applies to me as well. So one of the themes that I'm talking about today is that Jesus is someone worth following. So here's what we know from Scripture, from the Bible. Jesus isn't just an option. You know, he's not like, Jesus is one of those good ways to get to heaven. You can follow him. Jesus is the sovereign Lord of all. The Scripture teaches that. He's Lord of everyone in the whole world. He's the only way God has given us to salvation, because there's only one Jesus, right? There's only one Son of God. There's only one Messiah, and it is him. There's only one Savior who has given his life on the cross for our sins, that's why we're created to live that life that God has called us to live. And so when we study and grow in our knowledge of God through the Scriptures, it's not knowing for the sake of knowing. It's knowledge of God for life. And so it's knowing Jesus through the Scriptures so that we can follow him. So I want to put it a little differently. It's knowing Jesus so we can obey him. The Apostle Peter, he followed Jesus, you know, as a disciple. He followed him out in the waves, in a storm, walking on water. He followed him when he went into the courtyard at his trial. He followed the women to the tomb after the crucifixion and was there to witness his resurrection. And he followed Jesus' commands to the very end of his days, where he too, tradition tells, was crucified as well for his faith. He followed Jesus. And Peter writes this about obedience. He says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps." So in our bulletin cover, you know, we have this catchy phrase that says, "Followers making followers of Jesus." But you know, it isn't just a phrase to put on the cover. This is actually what it means to be a disciple, to follow Jesus, to obey him, and to make other followers of Jesus, to follow in his footsteps. So how are we doing at that? As followers of Jesus, how are you doing? You know, I want to make a couple practical applications as we go through this series, and I think this is a good place to start. But first, let me tell you why I'm preaching this message over the season of, or this series about being disciples or followers of Jesus. I think God has been doing some unprecedented things in our midst over the last year, certainly, over some time. You know, I've never witnessed people committing their lives to Jesus like I have in this season. I just have never seen that before. I've never seen people being baptized in the church in the numbers that we are seeing right now. Maybe you have, and that's great. I haven't. And to be honest, you know, I've never seen a church like we have right now being in the midst of this growth and revival and enthusiasm and excitement like I have right now. I've been in bigger churches, I've been in other churches, but I've never seen what we're experiencing happening right now. And I believe that Jesus has called us to be followers of him, to be his disciples who then go out and make disciples. And in order to do that, we have to be mature believers in Christ. We have to grow not just from trusting Jesus with our life as our Savior, but to making him also Lord of our life, leader of our lives, so that we can go out and complete and fulfill the mission he has called us to. So that takes spiritual growth. We all need to grow in our walk with Jesus to fulfill this mission. And it's not someday I'm going to do that, or later I'm going to do that, or maybe when I have more time to invest, because God is working right now. And so we're called to engage and to grow and become those followers right now and to come alongside the work God is doing. So here's what each of us can be asking ourselves right now. How am I doing as a follower who makes followers? And one of the things we can ask is, who am I reading? What authors am I looking at? What am I watching? What am I investing my time in learning? Where's my attention right now? Where am I focused? Who am I following? I'll answer that for myself so that you realize that I'm involved in this as well. I'm watching a series on Netflix called NCIS. It's very entertaining. Maybe you've heard about it. It can really take up my time, but you know, it's fun. So Cheryl and I we like reading legal novels, and we got a little extra time, then we read it out loud. Well, actually, she reads out loud, and I sit and listen. Sometimes I fall asleep, but it's great. We enjoy doing that. I browse the Wall Street Journal online simply because I think it's less biased and a better news source. But, you know, I don't know if, I don't really think any of those particular practices are leading me astray from being a follower of Jesus. But if that's all I'm doing, I'm probably not growing in my discipleship, in my walk with him. So I think we need to ask ourselves, in the big picture of eternity, are the things that I'm focused on and doing really worth following? So I'm also reading the New Testament in the community Bible experience that we're going to do this fall. I'm kind of previewing it by doing it myself ahead of time, and I have to tell you, I'm really excited about it. You know, it's written in the book format, the New Testament, and as you read through it, you read larger pieces and get a broader context of the Scripture, and it is so much easier to read than the way the Bible's written with all the numbers and headings and things. You just kind of read it through like a book. And I'm amazed at how, as I read familiar passages, I gain all this great new insight as I read it in this broader context, and these great themes that keep coming out over and over and over. I have to tell you, it makes sense. It makes more sense. And I'm really excited about us getting into that this fall and doing that. So I'm also exposed to the Marriage 101 course this summer as I'm doing some premarital coaching with a couple of couples, and I'm reminded of what it means to have a biblical marriage, and I'm reminded of what it means to be a loving husband, and I have to tell you, I have some work to go on that. But I'm being reminded by God's word of what it actually means, what it means to live in obedience to Christ. So how are you engaging God's word this summer? How are you checking your obedience as a follower of Jesus? So let's go back to the basics for a moment. If you have your Bibles out yet, you can go to John chapter 15. We're going to look at that passage that was read, verses 9 through 12. So John 15, so this is the Gospel of John towards the beginning of the New Testament. John chapter 15, verse 9. So here's some pages turning, John 15, 9, as we begin, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." And so as we read this command, Jesus says that if they obey it, they will be following his example of obeying who? His Father, right? Jesus obeyed his Father as our example to obey Jesus' command. And by doing that, he remains in the Father's love. By doing that, we remain in the love of Christ and the love of the Father. So whose example are Jesus' followers supposed to follow? So as followers of Jesus, who are we supposed to follow? Jesus. Awesome. Good answer. Let's try that again. As Jesus' followers, who are we supposed to follow? Jesus. Yeah. You know, we're to follow him. And so we're clear that the example of Jesus is what we are supposed to be doing. And so We agree on that. As followers of Jesus, we look to imitate Jesus, right? We copy what Jesus did. So I want to make this as clear as possible. I think sometimes we get the idea that being a follower or a disciple of Jesus is difficult, that it's really complicated, that it's some kind of mysterious, super hard thing to understand. But, you know, to be honest, being a follower of Jesus is really simple. It's knowing him and doing his will. You know, it's not beyond our understanding. It's not beyond our reach. And we do two things. We find out how Jesus lived while he was here on earth, and then we copy it. So one, we read, we listen, we learn what Jesus did, and then we copy it. We do it. That's all. Doesn't seem that difficult to understand. So I'm convinced that it doesn't need to be any more complicated than that. But it does require something of us. When I was one of my first jobs after college, I had a opportunity to work with my brother-in-law in the cable marketing industry. And I say things like that to make it sound really good. But you know what it was when I started, what my job was? It was to go knocking door to door to sign people up for cable. And so if you've ever done door-to-door sales, let's call it what it is, then it's quite an experience. And I really did think I was a little above something like that. And so I followed my brother-in-law around as we were out in this 20-degree below zero weather, all bundled up in Minnesota, going to doors and knocking, and people would answer. And then my brother-in-law would give his spiel, give his pitch, and then he would get in the house and sign them up and then take their money and go to the next house and knock on the door. And somebody would answer and they would say they're not interested, so they'd go to the next door and knock on the door. He did that for about half an hour and he said, "Okay, that's how you do it. Now go do it." And I was like, so I think I knocked on two doors that day. It was awful. I hated it. But I began to learn that, you know, the process was simply do what he did. Knock on the door, give your spiel, sign them up, collect the check, go to the next door. And when I did that, it began to work, and I began to make some really good money doing it. And so finally got promoted and out of that. But being a follower of Jesus in some ways is like that. We know what to do. It's simply that we just have to do it. We find out what Jesus did, then we do it. The first part of living as a wise life is that we know we have to somehow engage God's word. Whether we're listening to it, whether we're reading it, whether we're sharing it together, we need to know who Jesus is and what he did in order to follow him. And we learn that through the Bible. The scripture teaches us in Hebrews 1:3 that the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. So if we want to know God, then we find out who Jesus is. Jesus shared with his disciple Philip and his closest disciples, he said, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." So we think, wow. You know, in order to know God, we simply need to look at Jesus. We need to know him and understand him. He is God in the flesh. He is our example to follow. And the disciples who were with him and heard his teaching and saw his miracles and were nearby when he was crucified and who were at his grave when he rose from the dead, these are the same ones who are the witnesses to us, who recorded what they saw and heard and experienced right here in the Bible. So how many of you have experienced Jesus face to face? Now, I mean literally, physically, face to face. None of us, right? Because Jesus hasn't been here on earth for 2,000 years. He's returning, but he's not here. So how do you experience God discipleship face to face in your life? Well, we do it by the example of other believers, right? We experience the love of Christ through others who follow Christ. So our mission isn't to be knowledgeable about Jesus, it's to know him as someone worth following so that we can follow his example. And when it comes to obedience and following him, how important is it? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. So obedience is foundational to this being a follower. He said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And so, again, if we are trying to figure out what it is, what's that one thing I need to do in order to really follow him, it is simply to obey his command of love, to love God, to love others. And so how do we know if we're doing that? Well, how is your faith impacting your relationship with your spouse? Are you loving your spouse? Are you honoring her as Scripture says, or respecting him as the Bible teaches? You know, then you know that you're walking in love. How are you experiencing love in your relationship with your kids? How are we doing that with our coworkers and friends? How are we loving our church family and being loved by our church family? How are we loving those who are around us? So when we're loving others, then we are beginning to grow and experience what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus who loves God, loves others, and serves in our world. So do you know anyone in church or your church context or in your neighborhood or as a follower of Jesus, do you know anyone who serves as an example to you of being a follower of Jesus? You know, in a way that you would actually like to say, I would like to follow Jesus like they follow Jesus, like he follows Jesus, like she follows Jesus. Do you know anyone like that? Do you know someone here in the congregation like that? If we think about it for a moment, who practices what we've been talking about? A life of love and obedience. The Apostle Paul, he makes this remarkable command to the churches, all the ones that he planted, that he engages in his letters. He says, I'm someone worth following. And I think about that. How can he say that? How can the Apostle Paul say, I'm someone worth following? Haven't we been talking about following Jesus? So he comes up with this idea. And it's not like a rare occurrence. He says it over and over in Philippians chapter 4. He says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Follow me. And again, in 1 Corinthians 4, he says, therefore, I urge you to imitate me. And later he says, he's sending Timothy to remind of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in the churches. So follow me, Paul's saying. And again, in 2 Thessalonians, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. Follow us, he says. And so what is he doing? I think he's making a discipleship principle that we all need to understand. And it is simply this. We need to, he declares in his letter to the Corinthians, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So Paul is imitating Jesus. He's not saying, follow me for my own sake and my own pride and my own glory. He's saying, follow me because I am following Jesus. Follow my example because I am seeking and trying with all my might to live out what it means to be a true, fully devoted follower of Jesus. And this is what it looks like in the flesh, with all its trouble, all its struggles, all its difficulties. And it's not perfect, but try it. Follow this example. So as we think about that, I think about a pastor that has been in my life over the years who I look at and I think about him as the example of Jesus. His name's Pastor Mark, and he just exemplifies this love of Christ. I don't know anyone who goes up to him that he doesn't give his attention and time and compassion and concern. And whenever I go to him, I always feel like I'm the most important thing in the world. And he really genuinely cares about me and about what's going on in my life. And he loves the Lord. He talks about the Lord not in some prideful, puffed up way, but just in gratitude. You know, everything that he talks about, just gratitude of what God has done. And even when things are difficult and troubling, I say, Pastor Mark, how are things going? God's great. It's a little struggle right now, but it's great. I'm like, wow. This guy never, ever, you know, gets down on what God's called him to. And so he's an inspiration to me because I see in him someone who follows Jesus. So here's the question. The Apostle Paul knew we needed examples, and he consciously sought to live his life as a follower of Jesus to be that example to others. So are you living as a follower of Jesus who examples following Jesus? So I'm going to wrap up with this sermon by Francis Chan, who in his sermon, Think Hard, Stay Humble, he told the following story about Vaughn, who radiated Christ's love. He says this, a few years ago, a missionary came to our church and told a beautiful story about sharing the gospel with a remote tribe in Papua New Guinea. At the end of the story, the missionary said, I should really give the credit to Vaughn for my former youth pastor who loved me and inspired me to live for Christ and share the gospel with others. So the next week, another guy came from another church and he shared about sponsoring kids who are living in poverty, like our Hope Sunday. And the second speaker also concluded by saying, I'm involved in this ministry because of my youth pastor, a guy named Vaughn. I found out later, he says, that these two were in the same youth group. And then the next week, another speaker called Dan, told us about the ministry of a rescue mission in LA. And after Dan's talk, I casually mentioned it was so weird. The last 2 weeks, both of our speakers mentioned how much impact our youth pastor, Vaughn, had on them. And Dan looked surprised, and he told me, I know Vaughn. He's a pastor in San Diego, and he takes people to the dumps in Tijuana, where kids are picking through garbage. I was just with Vaughn there, and we walked in the city, and these kids would run up to him. He would show such deep love and affection for them. He'd hug them and have gifts and food for them. He'd figure out how to get them showers. Francis, it was eerie. The whole time I was walking with Vaughn, I kept thinking, if Jesus was on earth, I think this is what it would feel like to walk with him. He just loved everyone he ran into, and he would tell them about God. People were drawn to his love and his affection. And then Dan said this, the day I spent with Vaughn was the closest thing I've ever experienced to walking with Jesus. Hearing this made me think, would anyone in their right mind say that about me? Would anyone say that about you? As I thought about this, I prayed, Lord, that's what I want. I don't want to be the best speaker in the world. That doesn't matter. I don't want to be the most intelligent person on the planet. That's not what I want to be known for. What I want to be known for is someone saying, wow, he's a lot like Jesus. So God has given us a mission to make followers who make followers of Jesus. And therefore, growing as disciples means becoming someone worth following as we follow Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that in this discipleship journey, we are not alone. Lord, if we were, we would never be able to do what you command us and call us to. But we're not. You live in us. You are with us. It is your power by which we are saved and by which we can obey. And it is your word that leads and guides us. And so, Lord, help us to be conscious of being a follower who makes followers of Jesus. Lord, help us to be those ones who, when people look at us, they say, they love like Jesus loves. In your name, amen.